At 11:15 p.m. back east, in the Westin overlooking Boston Harbor, Romney's family and staff stood around white leather couches in a state of shock. Romney had been told he'd likely lost, and his advance staff was setting in motion plans to concede. It was an intensely painful scenario for a campaign that had been confident in victory hours before. The television wasn't even turned on in Romney's room on the 16th floor. Instead, he preferred to follow the returns through updates from his senior aides. Jackson would relay the latest states that had fallen from his iPhone's Twitter feed. Rhodes shuttled in from the war room down the hall with fresh data. Some of it came from news organizations, some of it from Romney aides scrolling through websites with the election returns. The campaign's Election Day Monitoring System, ORCA, which no one had apparently bothered to field test, was basically useless. Here was a fitting way to end a campaign marked by resilience and flashes of inspiration, but ultimately sunk by strategic ineptitude and a level of self-delusion breathtaking on a team that featured some of the brightest brains and hardest heads in the Republican Party. Obama had drafted what his team jokingly called his loser speech with Favreau days earlier. Romney had written nothing, pretty sure he wouldn't need one. What Mitt paid attention to was the enthusiasm of the crowds, the size of the crowd, because there was real momentum out there, said Spencer Zwick, his finance chief and family friend. I totally believed we were going to win, and I think everyone around him believed we were going to win. If anyone tells you that they knew we weren't going to win, I think they're lying to you. His wife, Anne, was completely sold on her husband's impending victory. We're going to win this, she told an aide who had suggested the possibility of an alternative outcome the night before en route to a final rally in New Hampshire. Now the end was coming, and far faster than anyone anticipated. When Rhodes revealed that Romney had lost Wisconsin and that their pathway was basically gone, the candidate responded in his typical matter-of-fact fashion. Time to get working on that concession speech, he said. Romney, a boyish 65, was realizing that the dream which had eluded his father, the Michigan governor and 1968 GOP hopeful George Romney, was also beyond his reach. Still, he slipped easily into his accustomed role as family patriarch and church elder, betraying little emotion as he began hashing out his remarks. He's sitting there playing with his grandkids, as calm as he could be, recalled a source in the room. Then, confusion. 10 minutes later, at 11:25, his aides were watching Karl Rove on Fox News, saying that the network's call of Ohio was premature. Well, maybe Rove knows something we don't, a person who was in the suite at the time said, explaining their thinking. Rhodes was also hearing from political director Rich Beeson, who was monitoring the returns across town at the TD Garden. In a phone call, Beeson told Rhodes that it was premature to concede because there were so many votes still being counted in the big four states, Florida, Ohio, Virginia, and Colorado. Rhodes turned to his stoic candidate. It doesn't look good, but there's still a chance, he said. Okay, hold off, Romney said. He wasn't being optimistic, just prudent. There was a strong feeling among senior Romney officials that they should decide when to concede, that they wouldn't let the TV networks force their hand. But as Will Ritter, Romney's top advance man, abruptly canceled preparations to move the candidate to the convention center, tensions were mounting. Romney's deputy chief of staff, Katie Packer Gage, was out in the hallway arguing with the communications team. She favored a delay, not wanting Romney to pull an Al Gore by having to retract a concession. Eric Fernstrom and Kevin Madden, two senior press advisors, were talking about the perception of Romney in history. To Gage, and earlier to Rhodes, the communications operatives conveyed the same message: time to face reality. We didn't want Mitt to seem like a sore loser, Fernstrom would explain later.